should be having the same paper that's up there.
Where do you get it?
It's outside on the table where you signed in.
Mm-hmm. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Saturday Morning Math Group. Thank you so much for coming out this morning. Here's Dr. Anna Slice from the University of Texas at Austin, and she's going to play with us with something called picket fences.
Yep, thank you very much, Aaron. Good morning, everyone. So first thing I tell my students all the time, okay, when I teach in this room, it's so big, I want everybody closer. Seriously, that means that please, if you are too far back, just walk a little closer. I know. And to reassure my students that nothing is going to ever happen to them, I tell them I'm a vegetarian, so I've never eaten a student, I promise. So.
You're missing out.
Don't come closer. Okay, so I'm very happy that you all came, and let me tell you what the plan for today is. I need a ton of help. So I'm asking your help in doing a very special task, which is I'm going to be playing around with those picket fences. And in particular, I'm interested in counting. We all know how to count, right? Just regular counting. So I'm interested in counting the dots. Okay, so you can imagine those are picket fences. And what I'm interested in is kind of fencing out polygons, fencing out polygonal shapes in the plane. And I want to just start easy, okay? Just to break the ice. And I'm going to start with a rectangle. That's what usually a fence looks like, okay? And I'm interested in how many points I've got on the boundary and how many points I've got inside. Okay, and I want to be really good at counting these real fast. Okay, so let's go. How many points do I have inside on this shape? How many? Just louder. I'm getting older, guys. You need to speak louder. None. Yeah, I don't have any. So that's going to be a zero. Let me actually write down a little bit thicker. So for this one, I don't have any. And how many points do I have on the boundary?
18.
Are you sure? Okay, let's count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. Yes. Okay. Check on this task. Next, how many interior points do I have here? Ten, nine, I hear two different things.
11.
Oh my goodness, 10, 11, 9. There should be just one number. Let's count together. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay, we've got 10 of them. And how many do I have on the boundary?
30.
What's your name?
Ed.
Say it again.
Ed.
So Ed says 30.
36?
26? Okay, let's see. So let's do it together. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I've got 26. Okay. How about we go to the next one? How about this one? How many do I have inside, and how many do I have on the boundary? 54 inside. How did you do that? Oh, hold on. What's your name?
Pia.
Okay, Pia, can you explain to me again how you did it? Oh. Oh, my goodness. So that seems to be a shortcut. So I don't have to just manually count all of them. So Pia is suggesting, well, look at this. For counting interior points, Pia counted the number of dots that we have over here, and she counted how many rows we have. So how many rows do we have here? 6, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. Now, those are the inside rows. And she multiplied 6 by whatever many
9.
That we have over here. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. So it just is 6 times 9. Okay, that sounds very clever. And how many boundary points do we have? 34? How do we do that? Okay. Wait a minute. What's your name?
Anna.
Okay, very good. We share the name. Okay. So, Anna, can you say it again for everybody? Making sure everybody has heard you.
You take the number on each side, except for the corners.
Okay.
You add them together on all sides, and then you add four for each.
Okay. So, she's saying, take all of those. So she's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. Okay? So I'm going to take 9, and then I do what?
You add all of the other sides.
All of the other sides.
You can also add just the different numbered side and multiply by 2.
Ah. My goodness. We're getting really fast here. We're kind of funny. A ton of shortcuts. Yes.
So, my idea was that you first do 11, and then you do 8, and then multiply 9 by 8.
Uh-huh.
11 by 8, 88, but, 11 plus 8.
Oh, yeah, no, we have some ideas here, too. I want to put everybody's all together.
And then you've
got too much.
And then you do, 11 plus 8, 19 times 2, 38, and then minus the quarters that you've counted twice.
Okay.
4, and so it's 34.
Okay, that is a very good point. So, I want to put everything all together. We got the 9. Remember, Pia? Okay, Pia suggested, first of all, that we can count the inside and then multiply over here to get the interior points. Awesome, very smart. And now Anna over here was suggesting, well, take the points inside, okay? And I've got 9 of them. And then I'm going to be adding the points that I have on the other side. Okay, so I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. Okay? And now what am I going to do with this number? I'm going to multiply by 2. Okay, because it's a rectangle. So a rectangle has a property that if you check, you just have two dimensions, essentially. Okay, so you have a vertical dimension, and then you have a horizontal dimension. And so what you can do by symmetry is just count half of them. Okay, so you're going to count what you have in one direction, on the other direction, and then all you're left with are the four corners. So you have to add separately those four corners. And so let's see what we have over here, plus 4. Okay, so that would be the number of boundary points. And Ed over here actually had a very, very good idea, and he was doing something a little bit similar to what Pia was suggesting. But he was doing it on the bigger rectangle. Okay, so Pia was working on the smaller rectangle that we have inside. Do I have a pencil? I do. So she was kind of computing this 9 times 6. What is 9 by 6? Not the number, just what does it represent? The area. She's computing an area. Ed was doing exactly the same thing, but he was trying to compute the area of this rectangle, the bigger one. Okay, so is there a way to see that in our formulas? So you're talking about areas. Is area involved at all in those computations? Okay, in the computation of the boundary, for example, So in here, what you did was to compute the area of the inside. Okay? But now, how can we relate
Well, yeah, this is the area of the inside. And is there a relation between everything? Yes, that's the perimeter, exactly.
But I don't think it, I don't know if it has a connection to the area, because there aren't, you're not calculating a two-dimensional.
Oh, that's a very good point. So she's mentioning, well, in terms of units, wait a minute, I've got units of area, which would be unit squared, and then I've got like a linear unit. How can there be some connection? Well, let's see if there is one. So what is the area of this thing? What is the area of the rectangle? Of the whole thing? 70? Why? How do I compute that? It's 7 tall. Let's count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. 7 tall times? 11 wide. So we have 2, 4, 6, 8. Oh, wait a minute. But here we have 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. So you want to be careful when you're talking about dimensions and when you're talking about the number of points. Am I missing something?
8 and 11.
No, it's 7. Ah, okay. No, that's what I'm saying. No, that's not a mistake. So in here, I could be counting the area in terms of units, okay? So if I have, for example, this thing over here, this segment, what's the length of this segment?
Four.
It's four units, but it's 5 points. So this is a 4 units in length, but it contains 5 points. So that's a very good point that we need to be paying attention to. So we need to be very careful that when we're counting dimensions, okay, there's something here. We have 4 units, but then we have 5 points, okay? So for example, here, it's very interesting because we have 9, so that's 2, 4, 6, and 8. Okay, so we need to be careful because this is kind of related to the area of this smaller rectangle, but it's not quite because we have this extra one. Does it make sense? Any questions? So, I want to know, essentially, I've got all of those many points inside, okay? 6 times 9. And then I've got these many points on the boundary, and I've got an area of this much. Is there any relation between them? For example, in here, you told me that you've got 6, and what is 6? The number of rows that you have inside, okay? Now, in terms of the dimensions of our rectangle, let's pick a smaller one over here. So suppose that I have a dimension here that is K, okay? And I've got, a dimension of J, okay? So J, K are going to be the dimensions. So, what is J and what is K in this particular example? Anybody? J is? 3, very good. And how many points do we have? 4 points. Excellent. And how much is K? K is?
11.
K is the dimension, so it's 2, 4, 6.
Are we talking units or points?
Units. So K and J are dimensions, so we're counting the units. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 units. Okay? How many points do we have? 12 points. Okay, so this is just to make sure that we're all on the same page. Anytime we're counting dimensions, we want to be careful because then we have points that are just one extra. Okay, so here we go. Again, how many interior points do I have in this case? And again, remember that I want to try to do these computations real fast. 20? What's your name?
Valentina.
Okay, Valentina's helping us here. We got 20 interior points. How did you do that, Valentina?
Ten across
and two. Okay, so what you're getting here is a 2 times 10, and so the 2 is just what we have over here. So what's the relationship between 2 and J? Yeah, very good. So what we're doing here is computing I, which is just J minus 1, okay, times what? What is 10 compared to k? Yeah? K minus 1. Very good, very good. So here we go. We've got I, which is, the interior points, which is j minus 1 times k minus 1. So we are representing the number of interior points as a function, you see, of the dimensions. Now, how many boundary points do I have? Valentina. No? Sorry, what's your name? Sorry?
Pranati.
Oh my goodness, sorry.
Pranati?
Okay, Pranati, sorry. Where is Valentina? Valentina's here. Okay, Pranati. 44. How did you do it? Very good.
It's not 44, but 2 plus 10 is 12, and 12 times 2 is 24, and 24 is
4. So you're using, Pranati is using the formula that we had recovered before. So this idea that you just do, like, you're looking for how many points you have, just in half. Okay? And how can we write that down? So particularly, we can say, in terms of J and K, that we have what for the boundary points? How can we write it down in terms of J and K, Pranati? So we've got J minus 1. And then we're going to be multiply that by 2, you're saying? And then we're going to add 4. So let's see if that works. So J minus 1 plus K minus 1, remember that if I'm taking J minus 1, all I'm doing is really, J will be 3, okay? 3 units. Now if I subtract 1, what I'm getting are the 2 points inside, okay? And then K minus 1 also is going to give me essentially how many points I have over here in the interior. And then all I'm going to have to do at the end is just add 4. Perfect, perfect. Can you help me do some computations now? Please say yes.
Yes.
Yes, okay, very good. Very excited, everybody. Alrighty, so very simple computations. Can we foil this thing? So we're looking for formulas here. We're looking for a very clever, very quick way to compute our boundary points and interior points, and we figured, well, here are some formulas in terms of the dimensions of the rectangles. Over here. Was that a hint question? No? Okay. Yeah.
So this is what I was thinking. I was thinking that, so you get the area of all of these points, it's 2 times 9, that's 18. So you spread these points out over here and these points out over here, but then you're not counting the corner, so you're just out at 4.
Which is the 4 that we needed to count that Anna was mentioning at the very beginning. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So let's do this. Let's FOIL it together. Now, the number of interior points, you told me it's j minus 1 times k minus 1. How do I FOIL this thing? Yeah. What's your name? What is your name? Jonathan? Okay. Was that a raise hand saying, I'm going to help you? No? Oh, no. Valentina. Yes, indeed. Oh, my goodness, my goodness. Let's see someone else. Over there. Anybody who can help me FOIL this thing?
What does FOIL mean?
I picked this up from students in high school, actually. They keep saying FOILing. What I mean is factoring. You know, just do the distributivity, apply the distributivity property and tell me how much that is. Over there. That thing, exactly. JK? Sorry, I got lost him. Minus J minus 1. JK minus J, yep. Minus K. Plus 1. Very good, because minus 1 times minus 1 is equal to 1. Okay, very nice, very nice. This is the number of interior points. Now, what about the boundary points? Let's write that down. We've got 2j plus 2k, so 2j plus k, and then I've got minus... Ooh, why did I do that? Well, anyway. Then I've got... minus 2, so it's going to be minus 4, and then plus 4, and we're done, okay? So those cancel out, so that is it. Okay. Looks good. Do you guys see anything? Yeah. Pardon?
The boundary equation is missing the corners.
Oh, it's not missing the corners. Over here. But thank you for pointing it out. That's an important point. We need to remember to add the 4 corners, and here they are. But then when we have over here, it's a minus 1, minus 1, so it's a minus 2, times 2 is a minus 4. So minus 4 plus 4, we cancel it. Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. So over here, b is equal to, I'll repeat this step over here. So it's a 2j plus k minus 2, and then plus 4, and that equals to 2j plus k minus, I'm just distributing over here, so I'm getting minus 2 times 2, and then plus 4. Make sense? Okay, very good. Any questions? All right, everybody. So, we've got these very nice formulas. And we've got jk minus j minus k plus 1. And the boundary points is 2 times j plus k. Do they have anything in common? That's what we do as mathematicians all the time. We're interested in finding... patterns and finding anything that things have in common. Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So let's do one thing. You talk to your neighbor, and what I want to know is there any relationship between those two, between the I and the B formulas? So let's be precise here. What I'm looking for is... here I've got a formula for I that you helped me figure out. And then here's a formula for B, which is 2 times J plus K. And I want to know what you think about these two. Think about it. Talk to your neighbor. What do they have in common? Yeah.
So are those equations, the J and K in these equations, are they taking the units of J as input or the points of J?
Those are the units. J and K are dimensions. Very good. Okay, right behind you guys. So what do we think?
That there is a formula.
There's a formula? There's a relationship? What do you think it is?
Like this is it. JK minus J plus K plus 1 in parentheses.
Okay.
J plus K, then two times J plus K. So two times what's in that parenthesis.
Mm-hmm.
So you just say JK plus 1, then you subtract something, and on the other side you multiply it by 2.
Okay, so let's not erase anything. So let's make sure that we have a... Anytime you're doing these kind of computations, make sure that you have an equal sign. So if you're moving stuff around, that's you keep everything, you know, under control. What do we think over here? Yeah, that sounds very interesting. I like... What's your idea? What's your name?
Spencer.
Spencer? Okay, Spencer's idea was to kind of put together, like all of the colors, to put together the two factors. Where is the formula?
Right here.
When we have the formula for I, he put together the J and J plus K, so he took a negative sign out. And who's J plus K?
The J is the...
One dimension, yeah, and the K, it's the other dimension. And what is J plus K? Do we know anything about J plus K? Get added together?
Is that good?
That's nice. That's a perimeter, indeed, indeed. Exactly. So we've got the perimeter, and what is the name for the perimeter? How did we call the perimeter? Just blockade times 2? Exactly. So that's the number of the boundary points. Indeed. Indeed. So let's see if we can put those formulas together. Since you told me that the full perimeter is equal to B. What do we think over here?
I'm not even sure. I can't even wait, so I'm just trying to...
Oh, no. Don't worry. Don't worry. Do you have any questions?
No. I'm just going to have to, like...
Just try to follow. The important thing not to get confused, Wes, I'll get with you in a second, guys, is that K and J are dimensions, so they represent the units of the different sides of the rectangle, and then what we're counting are the number of points. Okay? Yep.
Like the day of the month. Or April.
Questions over here.
Yeah? Oh.
Let me go around, actually. Maybe it's easier.
We're trying to figure out how to find the relationship between the two.
Mm-hmm.
We were kind of confused how to do that. We tried to make them equal to each other and figure out what J and K were, but...
Okay.
So how do you find the relationship?
That's the thing. Finding a relationship is usually, it's the fun part, is playing around with formulas and with, patterns. So in here, I would say over there, there was Spencer had a very nice idea. And when he looked at I, he actually isolated the term J plus K. So instead of writing down I as JK minus J minus K plus 1, he wrote it as JK minus J plus K. And who's J plus K? Oh, don't worry. Just let's think about it. Does it make sense what we are asking? Okay.
Oh, then there's B. B is J plus K.
Oh, ah. How much is B?
The value.
2 J plus K. So how much is J plus K?
Half of it.
Half of it. Perfect. So I is what? J times K minus
B.
Beautiful. Plus 1. Ah. Keep going, guys. And now I want to... Essentially, what I want to know if... Is there any relationship that, for example, doesn't involve J and K at all? So what you're doing is kind of getting rid of J and K. This is a very good point. Very nice. Exactly. So I'm going to be left with I and B. Now, what is J times K? No, how much? What is it? What does it represent?
Oh, it represents the...
You're doing good. Keep it up.
I think the I? Or no.
J times K. What is the meaning of J times K? So what is...
Oh.
What is J?
J is up here.
3, exactly. So J is like one dimension, and then K is?
11.
Yep. 11, which is the other dimension. So what do we get?
Oh!
Good deal. Okay, guys, you work all together because you have it. Nice, nice. Very good, very good. Spencer, do you want to move over here? They have some very good ideas and you can help them out. Questions, Pia.
To the beginning, I tried to factor and substitute, but I don't know whether that helped.
Oh, yes, Sam.
I equals like the two sides multiplied by the other minus half of the perimeter plus.
Perfect, perfect. And what is JK? J times K. What is the meaning of J times K?
The area. Okay.
So. Good, good. How is it going over here? It's going?
I did some substitution. That's like the only thing I could think of to
How do you do this substitution?
I said, well, I switched these two variables, so J equals JK minus K plus 1 minus I, and then I substituted this for J in the equation.
Sorry. Let me think. So you took J, moved it on the other side, JK minus J plus 1 minus I. Okay, I'm good with that.
And then I substituted J into here, so I put this and then I put plus K because...
So B is equal to 2 times J, which is JK minus K plus 1 minus I plus K. Very nice.
And then these two cancel out, so JK plus 1.
JK plus 1 minus I.
JK
plus 1 minus I, very nice, to JK. And then it's going to be plus, oh, yeah, so you have a 2, which is a common factor over here.
Yeah, I just multiplied.
Yeah, yeah, that sounds very good. You got it. You have it. Good job. Now, what is J times K? Very good. Very good indeed. How's it going over here? It's going good? How's it going over here? Doing okay? What is a formula? What is a relationship?
We haven't really found any relationships. We know that they don't have the same degree, they don't have the same number of terms.
Mm-hmm.
And there are different types of functions if I and B are treated as constants. So we're still
looking for that
relationship.
Okay, very good. So just think in terms of, for example, let me tell you something that Spencer over there was doing, which I think was very nice. So Spencer started by saying, well, look, instead of writing I to be JK minus J minus K plus 1, he did something very interesting. He took JK minus J plus K. Plus 1. Okay? And then he saw JK somewhere, sorry, J plus K somewhere else. So try to think about that. It works. How's it going here?
You could do JK minus B or
Nice, nice. And that is going to be, whoa, what's your name?
Emma.
Emma, oh, very good job, very good. Very nice. Any questions over here? What did you find? Ooh la la.
Which is fixed, right?
No browsing in class.
Oh, I finished it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no, I know. Okay. That's what it looks like. Okay. So, no browsing, no cell phones.
The best you can do is two thirds.
Anna! What did you get? Oh, yeah. So, minus B over 2. Yes, yes, yes. So the inside, very nice. Very nice. What do we have over here?
We have one.
Not a lot.
Oh, no, no. Wait a minute. So, I'll tell you. What's your name?
Roderick.
Roderick. Okay, Roderick, I'm telling you what Spencer was doing up there, which I think it was very nice. So, he wrote down, you see, it's a JK minus J minus K plus 1. And he wrote that as a JK minus J plus K plus 1. And then he saw that J plus K somewhere else. Can you find it? Do you see J plus K written anywhere else? And the other equation. Yes, indeed. And so he's, what can you do when you have a common fact, a common term?
And then you add another form, then another.
It's like having another name for it.
She didn't really have a common term because you have minus J minus K, not J plus K.
Oh, that's what he did. What he did was precisely that. So he took the negative outside and to make it look like J plus K.
Oh, okay.
And so then you can see that J plus K appears somewhere else.
Okay.
Very good, very good.
Yeah.
I'm going to wrap it up.
Okay. Oh, there you go.
Okay, guys. You have seen some pretty awesome work over there. Okay. So, I want to get started by saying something that Spencer over there was showing me. So, he noticed that if you're taking I, okay, it looks like a JK minus I, minus J. So this is the number of interior points. So we've got J times K. And then what he did was to say, well, I don't like minus J minus K. Actually, this I'm making it up. He never told me that he didn't like it. But anyway, so it's not minus I, minus J minus K, but he wrote it as minus. Minus what? J plus K, and I think this is really a wonderful idea, and I've seen many other very good ways of approaching this problem. And then we've got the plus 1. Now, who's J plus K? B over 2, very nice. It's half of the boundary points, so let's just call it with its name. JK minus half of the boundary points plus 1. Good deal. I still want to understand more, okay, this relation. So, I've seen many people doing what? What is J times K? The area. So, I've seen many people substituting just the name for J times K, which is area. It's the area of the rectangle. Okay, very good. So, it seems like the area of the rectangle is really intertwined between these numbers, the number of boundary points and the number of interior points. So we actually have a pretty nice equation over here. Let's write it down. So we have that the area equals what? Can someone help me? How much is the area? Okay, I, the number of interior points, plus half of the boundary points. Minus one. Very good. Oh, wow. Isn't this a cool formula? Well, I think it's pretty cool as is. So it's a formula for the area. Oh, wait a minute. We need to be precise here. All we did was to look for a rectangle. So here, we've got the formula for a rectangle in case we don't know how to compute the area of a rectangle, right?
Right.
Which is, and we're going to go over all of this hassle of counting the number of interior points and counting the boundary points, and then, sorry, half of that, and then subtract one, where we know that, yep. And then the area of a rectangle, we know it's kind of very simple. We just multiply the two dimensions.
I'm a geometer, and when I measure an area, I always have to measure the lengths of things. But this seems like you're finding the area of a thing without measuring anything. There are no lengths.
I know, Aaron. Aren't you surprised? I am, too. So you're just counting pegs, okay, instead of counting lengths. But this is for a rectangle. Okay, so you could be saying, whoa, that's really interesting, but it's a rectangle. So wouldn't it be even more interesting if we could handle more complicated shapes? No? Something like, what's the next, something relatively simple, but not too, not too hard, but harder than a rectangle. What can you imagine?
Triangle.
Oh, a triangle. Let's try a triangle, shall we? Okay, so what I want you to do, guys, is to take the back of your sheet. The back of your sheet is just empty. It's got the it's just got the grid. And what I want to understand is if perhaps the formula that I've got over there doesn't work just for rectangles, but also for triangles. That would be really cool. We're starting really to get into something. Okay, so I want to draw a triangle. I'm going to just draw any triangle here. And I need your help figuring out what to do. Okay, so I'm drawing my triangle over here, and let's pick dimensions. So I'm going to pick K, which is going to be the dimension of this side over here, and then I'm going to pick J to be this side over here. Dimensions, okay, I'll write it down again. So J and K are dimensions, not number of points. And then I want to know, what is the area of that triangle? Yes?
So you do base?
Base?
Times height, no, G times K.
Very good.
Divided by 2 because it's a right triangle.
Ah.
So it times 2 will be a rectangle. Oh. And it's just J times K, but since it's two of those fit into a rectangle, it's supposed to be J divided by K.
Very nice. Ed, you're saying more than actually the answer, but what you're saying is extremely interesting, and I want to use it. So he gave me a formula for a triangle, the area of a triangle, half base times height, correct?
Yeah.
Now, in this particular case, he also noticed that the triangle is a right triangle, so it's a little bit easier to look for base and height. Yeah. Exactly. Pranati. Pranati. I want to put together what Ed was saying and Pranati was saying over here, and we are really onto a good start because the area of a triangle, I'm just putting everything all together, it's one half base times height. So it's going to be J times K, but I don't care about that too much, or rather, I mean, what I'm interested in is what they told me afterwards, which is, well, this is just half of the area of a rectangle. And now I wonder, which rectangle? Which rectangle has twice the area of this? Let's see, over here, the neighbors of Anna. What's your name?
I'm Urjan.
Say it again, please.
Urjan.
Okay, Urjan. Tell me which rectangle.
The rectangle with the same base and height.
The same base and height. Excellent, excellent. So let's draw that first. So I'm going to draw the same base and height. So that is what I'm getting. Okay, this is the rectangle whose base and height are the same as the base and the height of our original triangle. So far, so good, everybody? Okay, what's the area of the rectangle? I'll just ask someone else.
The area of the rectangle I count that there are 9 points, so there are 8 units over here, and that there are 5 points, so there are 4 units over here. And
8 times 4. 32. So we would expect 32 divided by 2 to be the area of the triangle. Now, what do we know in terms of formulas? Because remember that this is just an example, and we would like to have a very handy shortcut so we can handle any situations, not just that particular triangle. Let me hold on and see if anybody else has any thoughts. What is a formula? Emma? Is that right? Emma, what's the formula for the area of a rectangle? D formula, our cool formula. Oh, don't feel shy. By the way, guys, I'm going to learn some of your names, and if I call you and you don't know the answer, that's no big deal. That's no big deal. So don't feel like I'm picking on anybody, okay? That's very important. We're just all here together. We're trying to have fun, and nobody's judging anybody. Okay, Anna.
Aha.
Okay, so what Anna is suggesting is, how about we use the cool formula over here now, so that we know what's going on. This is going to be what I call the cool formula, okay? Now, I'm going to be using the cool formula, so I get 1/2 the number of interior points. Interior to what? What interior points are these? Of the rectangle. So I'm going to have to be precise and so say R, okay? And then I've got plus half of the boundary points of what? Of the rectangle, okay? Divided by 2, and then I've got minus 1. So, oh, goody, sorry. Let me do this, actually. Is it still clear to everybody? I mean, can you all see very well? Okay, perfect. All right, so what I've done so far is to write down the area of a triangle in terms of the interior points and the boundary points of the rectangle. But I'm not too happy about that. Exactly. I would like to have a formula that involves the interior points of the triangle and the boundary points of the triangle, right? So that would be my goal. That's going to be our goal, not just my goal. So I need your help. And I want to know how to compute the boundary points of the rectangle. Okay? How do I get the boundary points of the rectangle? By the way, in terms of the boundary points of the triangle. So eventually that's what we're heading towards. That's the plan that you guys suggested. Yeah, over there. Oh, yeah, I need to count them. Indeed. So, what are the boundary points of the rectangle? So, I'm going to go around the boundary of the rectangle. Oh, clearly, that's what they are. So, come with me. 1, 2, 3, 4, blah, 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 blah. So, I'm going like here. Right? Should I do it again? Okay, I'll walk again around the rectangle. Guys, stay with me. Okay. Now, what are the boundary points of the triangle? I'll walk. Did I walk the same path? Oh, no. But they've got to have something in common. Yeah. I'm not entirely sure. Why k? Because they do have a k in common. Dots.
Okay. So you do the number of dots for the rectangle minus the number of dots in the k side.
But the k side is actually on the triangle. I'm not sure. Yeah, over there.
So we're trying to do the dots in the rectangle, right?
Yes, in terms of the dots on the triangle. Aha, the dots of the hypotenuse. So let's call that hypotenuse, shall we? So here we go.
H.
So H is going to be the number of dots inside. Okay? No corners. So the number of dots, for example, in this particular case, I would have 1, 2, and 3. Everybody on the same page? What H means? I've just got the dots inside. So I've got 3 in this particular example. Okay. So again, what are the boundary points of the rectangle? In terms of the boundary points of the triangle. J plus K. Careful, because J and K are dimensions. But you have very good ideas. What's your name?
Caden.
Okay, Caden has very good ideas here, because what he suggested was to take care of that hypotenuse. Okay, so that is a very important point. We need to... What do they have in common? Well, they do have in common these two sides, and actually the rectangle, see, it's got this side and this side, and then this side and this side. But then the triangle has this one extra. Yeah. Okay, so let's think about it. Say it again, please.
2 minus 2 minus 2.
So 2 times the boundary points of the triangle. Okay, minus.
Minus 2H, minus 2.
I want everybody to take a moment and think about whether Anna is right, or whether this formula is right. Question over there? No? Okay. What do we think? So she's saying go over BT, which is this, all of those points, okay? And then go over it twice. So I'll do it. Look at this. I went once, and then I'm going to go over it one more time. Okay? So essentially, what is it I'm double counting? I'm double counting the H. Very good. So I'm going to have to be subtracting H, and H is just the interior points over here. But she's also subtracting too. Why? Yeah. Exactly. I'm double counting also the two corners over here. Okay? Questions, anybody? Yeah, question?
So, I wanted to tell you, so if there is a similar right triangle, then there is a similar rectangle.
Oh, yeah. I think so. We can actually just scale it down through the diagonal. Absolutely. Questions, anybody? Okay, so here we go with the formula for BR. Okay, and now what are the interior points of the rectangle? I'm gonna look for someone else for a second. Over there. What are the interior points of the rectangle based on the interior points of the triangle? Yeah. Twice? So who's twice? Oh, I'm looking for a complete sentence. Sorry. Okay. Twice the interior point of the triangle. Okay. Everybody? Over there, what's your name?
H. Grayson.
Grayson? Why do I have to add H?
Because for the interior points of the triangle, H is inside the rectangle.
Very nice. Very nice. So we need to be sure that we're also adding the points in H. Because the points in H, you see, those points in here are part of the boundary for the triangle, but they become interior points for the rectangle. Okay, now we're ready. Let's put everything all together, guys. Don't you feel the excitement? We've got all of the parts, and now we're going to find a formula for the area of the triangle. Okay, here we go. We've got 1/2, the interior points of the rectangle. So I write those as 2IT plus H. Okay, and now I'm going to add 1/2 of the boundary points of the triangle, the rectangle, and I've got the formula over here. So I've got plus BT minus H minus 2, minus 1, and then minus 1. These are already halved. Make sense to everybody? Do you want me to do an extra step? Let's do another thing that I do always with my students. Are you ready? Okay, so what I do is I ask them, how you doing? And the possibilities are, I'm doing okay. I'm on the same page. And then here, I'm not following you. So let's do it. How you doing? I tell you, some of my students are also like, yeah, this is really super awesome. Okay, that sounds like we're doing okay, pretty much. This is the substitution, and let's go over some extra cleaning up step over here. Okay, so you notice that we have H over here, and then we have minus H over here, so what can I do? They cancel beautifully. Oh, thank goodness I didn't want to have to take care of H. Okay, awesome. And now what do you see? I've got 1/2 times 2IT, which equals? It's equal to IT, very good. IT, and then I've got BT divided by 2. And then I have minus 1 minus 1, which equals? Minus 2 divided by 2 equals? minus 1. And look at the cool formula that we have from the rectangle. And look at what we got for the triangle. They're the same thing. They're the same thing. However, I mean, respectively, in the sense that in here we have the interior points of the rectangle, the boundary points of the rectangle. Here we have the area of the triangle, which equals the interior points of the triangle, plus half of the boundary points of the triangle, minus 1. So now this is not just a cool formula. This ought to be a theorem. Yeah. Oh, absolutely, absolutely. So let's make sure that we follow the last step from here to here. Okay, perfect. So I'm trying to clean things up. So I've got a 1/2 in front, and then I've got 2i. So 1/2 times 2i equals? Is it 1/2 times 2 is 1, so I've got just it, which is the number of interior points of the triangle. And then h and h simplify, then I've got bt, so it's 1/2 when you distribute 1/2 of bt. And then I've got a minus 1 from here, and that means I've got minus 2 divided by 2, minus 1. Yep. Correct, correct. And now we've got half of them, because the formula for the rectangle told me to use half of the boundary points. So let's do this one more time. So here I've got the boundary points of the rectangle. So my formula wants me to take half of them. So if I take half of the points from the rectangle, I get 2bt minus 2h minus 2 divided by 2. And so I can take a 2 out and I simplify the whole thing. Make sense? Okay, so now we have a super cool formula. And the question that I'm going to be asking you after the break is this, how general is this formula? Okay, it works for rectangles. It works for the triangle that I drew. And then what we're going to be doing when after we resume is working with different shapes, because the world is not just all triangles and rectangles. Okay, guys, break. Okay, do we have everybody in?
Yeah.
Okay, welcome back. So what we're going to do now is trying to understand if our conjecture is true. Namely, we got the super, super formula, which was, where did I put it? Right here. So let's see what is that we are trying to show. We're asking ourselves, is this true in general? Okay, with in general in quotes, because we can make any whatever that means for us. Okay, so what we're going to be doing is that you need to have a ruler. Do y'all have a ruler? So you need a ruler. There are rulers outside, but hold on, first instructions. Okay, so you need a ruler, and then you need, hold on. You need paper. Okay, you should be having one page, and if you need extra, there's also extra. And then what we're going to be doing is walking around some stations, okay, exploring the different patterns. For example, we're going to get started over here with the rulers and extra paper, and we're going to work on another triangle, because the triangle that we discussed at the very beginning was a right triangle. Are all triangles right? Oh, no. You wish. No, they're not. So the idea is that we want to get, first of all, a good look at different kinds of triangles. So here is the first kind of triangle. And what you want to do is to start from here. Hold on. Start from here. And the most important feature is that this triangle has one side, okay, that is just all on the dots. So you want to write down, want to draw this triangle and think about a way to recover our formula for that particular triangle. Then you're going to follow the arrows. Okay, so we have the next station, which is going to be here. And this station is going to be talking about yet another triangle, which is really completely random. And then from here, we're going to have another arrow, and we're going to all walk. So that is the most general triangle that we can think of. And then over here, we're going to be talking about something more complex, okay? Which is, for example, I've got two triangles, and by now we know how to handle any triangle, okay? So how about if we put them together? What happens if we put two triangles together? Can we have a good formula for that? And then we're going to follow the arrows outside. And if we follow the arrows outside, then we're going to get a different kind of shape, okay? Which is just any shape, like any kind of polygon, which is made up of triangles, essentially. And then we have a wild station, which is going to be back here at the very end, which is like anything goes, like any kind of shape that you can draw on that piece of paper. Questions? Yeah.
So, you mean that the end, we're going to draw any figure, I mean polygon that the perimeter is all dots, or?
Not necessarily. So, that is a very good question. So, how do we draw those polygons? What is really the rule? What is a polygon? So, what we're going to be trying to prove is this formula, okay, for an object that can be drawn as, a collection of line segments. So, you want the corners to be on the grid. Okay, so you're going to pick these two corners on the grid, and then you're going to join them together. But you see that in here, I only hit one point. Okay, but not necessarily. It doesn't matter what points, how many points you hit on the line. But then, for example, I'm going to draw this. I'm going to connect with this guy, this guy, this guy. So that is going to be my polygon. I'm going to pick a collection of dots on the page. And then I'm going to be just connecting them. And I wonder if the area of this polygon over here that we're going to call, how are we going to call it? The name for the polygon. Not X and Y. Guys, you have so much more imagination than that. How are we going to call it?
Concave hexagon.
Okay, this is Mr. Concave Hexagon. So the area of Mr. Concave Hexagon, okay, is going to be, hopefully, equal to, what's the formula? What's the formula for the area of this object? I, the number of interior points of Mr. Concave Hexagon, plus B over 2, half of the boundary points of Mr. Concave Hexagon, minus 1. So that is going to be the claim. We are claiming that the area of that object, which, you know, if I have a triangle or if I have a rectangle, that's pretty easy to already compute the area just by looking at dimensions. You told me already a formula for the area of a triangle is 1/2 base times height. But, you know, I challenge you for Mr. Concave Hexagon to, you know, find the formula very efficiently. Whereas activity is showing us that essentially we have to compute the number of boundary points and the number of interior points, and we are done. Okay, are we ready? Now, let me tell you what I was expecting. I was expecting, yes, are we ready? Okay, perfect, everybody, we're here. There's a lot of activity involved in this activity. I mean, it's an activity, right? So, let's get active.
Does the end gun sign go with the picture of the end gun? Or?
Oh, no, it doesn't have a picture. Oh, just wait. It's a station.
Is it different from the... Is it different?
It's different from that one, yeah. But
the one outside. Like there was a one...
Yeah, no. We can put them together.
Oh, I see.
So okay. It's the same thing. So that one is a finite number.
Yeah.
And then the other one is just... This is just a general case.
The other one... Oh, the other one is a fixed.
Sorry, yeah. One is fixed number gun, and this is an end gun. Okay. But that's fine. Yeah. Whatever. Oh, I'm so sorry. Okay, everybody, we need to walk through the various stations. So here we're getting started with a particular kind of triangle. Another kind of triangle is another station over here. I just have to follow the arrows. So, but get started over here. That's very important. Get started over here, and then we're going to... check on all of the others. Then how do we put together two triangles and then the wild is outside? Get a ruler. So draw the triangle, but you don't have to draw exactly that triangle. The only thing that I want for this station, I want to have a vertical side, okay? Just a vertical side and then just any two. And I want to know, is the formula for true for that one? And how can we check it out? And then once you have some ideas on what to do over here, then you want to kind of move on to the next station. Make sense? Any questions?
I don't need my ruler.
Oh, you don't need your ruler? But you might want to keep it. Yep.
So you basically have to figure out whether the formula works.
Exactly. You want to, check the formula and then prove it. Like, for example, this is a different kind of triangle than the one we had before. And for the one that we had before, how did we prove the formula?
We just used the base and the height. We used a rectangle.
We used a rectangle, exactly. So, what about here?
We proved earlier that we still use a rectangle.
Very nice. So, keep working on that. That's a very good idea.
Now the question is, what do you get that triangle?
No, it doesn't work.
So... Any thoughts over here? How do we prove it? Like we did a very good job earlier. What was the technique that we used before?
We had using the regular technique, and then Priscilla said that it was the same as when we used that technique before. Or we had just derived the formula from the... equation we already knew.
For what? We knew the formula for what?
For area of a triangle based on
rectangle. Oh, no, just the very first cool formula for what?
For
rectangles, exactly. Now we have a cool formula for right triangles. Now, can we use those two perhaps to help us out with the situation?
Things might get difficult.
Excuse me. At the end of the day, can't you always have a rectangle with right triangles or rectangles taken out of it?
That's the idea.
So you should be able to generalize it.
Absolutely. So that's a way you can do this, actually. Yep.
Okay.
So just recover the... break it down into triangles.
Right.
That you know already, so it's kind of incremental in a sense.
Yeah, because what I was getting is, like, if you have something, this is actually fine, but if any triangle is hard to actually to calculate the area.
Right, that's true, you're going to have to figure out what the height is, and, if you have a right triangle, that's easy, but
exactly.
absolutely, that's a good point.
test?
You think? Like there's no, nothing is closed?
But what if we did,
can I drop?
Spencer, how's it going?
Going good.
Do you want to show me what you're doing?
Well, this map is part of a story I'm wanting to write. It has a lot of math. I'm trying to figure out some sunrise and sunset times to put in the story.
Interesting, interesting.
With what I know about astronomy.
What about the triangles over here?
Let's see.
Hmm?
Wait, what's that? Is that Pick's theorem?
What is Pick's theorem?
Right there.
Right there?
Yeah, I once proved it. I was trying to make sure it was totally true.
Mm-hmm. That's what we're doing. We're trying to show that. We're trying to show that. So, how about you show me what you did? So, you can...
Was I over 2 or B?
It's B over 2. That's what we figured. B over 2. So do one thing, Spencer. Pick up your ruler, pick up your dot paper, and go all the way at the front. Because what you're doing there is making sure that it's true for any case. So we did it for right triangles, we did it for rectangles.
A triangle, first to start, that have both numbers that don't have any factors. Then I'm trying to see if I add triangles together.
Mm-hmm. So that one is the first one, and then we're going to have a more general triangle over there, and then we're going to have the sum of two triangles over here, and then even more wild. So feel free to join us over there. Okay, we already have two people at the next station. Perfect.
Yeah, because... But this one would work with this.
How?
One.
How?
If you like,
just don't draw on this one.
Oh yeah.
That's the only thing.
If you just like change its orientation, like how you look at it.
No, yeah, that's not necessarily. Right, it's not necessarily a right triangle. No, that's not a right triangle.
Oh, it's not.
Nope.
Oh no, never
mind. That would be too easy.
Darn it! I thought you were tricking.
No. I'm not tricking you.
So,
but still, think about it.
Okay, let's try.
Exactly. That's the good attitude. So what was the technique? How did you guys do that one?
We just like drew it and saw that.
What did you see?
That, like, first of all, it can't become a rectangle.
Can or cannot?
Cannot.
Cannot?
Yeah.
No. It cannot?
Because it can only become a polygon, because this side would be slanted. So if you were to make the same thing, it would go up and slant.
Maybe it would be a different rectangle. Maybe it would
be
different.
It'd be a parallelogram, yeah.
Oh, right. But we don't know the formula for a parallelogram.
Oh.
So we're trying to do the following. If you know already, so we're trying to build, okay, on top of things. So we know the formula for a rectangle, check. We know the formula for right triangles, check. Now, if you could see for that picture, if you could see right triangles and rectangles, then we have hope to put things together. That was the previous station.
Oh, yeah. The previous station, I just drew it a right triangle, and I just drew it a right angle so I could figure out the height. So I did base times height.
That is fantastic.
And then I used the formula, the other cool formula, and I got the same answers.
That is absolutely gorgeous. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So you just did it with two right triangles.
Mm-hmm.
Marvelous. Marvelous.
So it would work. Right.
So
the first one, it did work.
So we have a formula until that kind of triangle, and that was a gorgeous idea, just using right triangles. Can I just share this picture with them?
So you make a right triangle out of all the triangles.
Exactly.
And you can use that to solve it. So you can turn that right triangle.
You could do that, or just since. How would you do it? Now, think about it. If I have this big triangle, but I want to know something about this triangle, what do I do? What is the area of this triangle compared to the area of the bigger triangle?
Well, you
you to track this area.
Nice. Do we know the area of this little one?
Yes, because it's also a right triangle.
Good. Very, very good.
Or you could just use this as a height directly, and then this is base, and then use formula.
No, we want to avoid a base times height formula, because that is not going to give us much information in terms of interior points and boundary points.
I use that to find the area, because I used the other formula to find it, the area, and I want to cost check.
Okay, yes, indeed. We need to, to check it. Exactly.
That's why I used that.
Perfect, perfect. And now, what about this thing? This is not a right triangle.
But this one would probably still work.
Why? How?
Because, like, you can make it where it would be a parallelogram or something like that.
Uh-huh. We don't know the formula for a parallelogram, though.
Then maybe it wouldn't work.
Maybe we need something else.
Yeah.
Maybe we need something else.
Right triangle?
Hmm? It's not a right triangle.
It's close, but it isn't.
I promise. And if it is, for by chance, I didn't mean to. Yeah. This is just a slam. I don't think it is.
Yeah.
No, it shouldn't be.
Probably. But
oh, it is. Yeah, because the slopes are, the lines are perpendicular.
Are you sure they're perpendicular? Can I have the ruler?
The slopes are perpendicular.
No, you see, it's just a little bit less. But it's very close.
But we could use that little.
Wait, so it'd be an acute.
No, wait. Make it really small.
Sorry, may I borrow this?
So just make it really small, right?
Yeah, but that's a negative two, so
that one's a positive.
Negative 1/2, and that one's positive.
So that means they have to be.
No, they're not perpendicular. You see, the black lines are not perpendicular.
It's a little more like. Wait, so is it an acute angle?
Hold on.
Two.
This is off. Sorry.
Sorry.
No, it's not. It's not. This is the first one, and here is the second one. It's slightly off. So if you're going, but if you're going over here, it's a little less.
Well, we're thinking it's because this one has a slope of negative 1/2, and this one has a positive slope of 2, and their slopes are opposite and reciprocal, so they must be perpendicular.
So this one has got 1, 2. No, this is 3. Sorry, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, this is 2.
2, and then that's slope of negative.
Oh, this is 1/2. Okay, yes. Then it must be. Okay.
Oh, wait, do we still need our ruler?
But it's not. Yes, there you go. But it's not meant to be.
It's not meant to be. So I guess this one's like.
Oh, you know quite a bit, guys.
Well, that means it works for sure.
What?
It works because it's a pressure.
No. That's what I'm saying.
We'll just make it really small.
Make it not. Like, can I have a pen? Okay, let's do this because, guys, it looks like it's not. Can I have the ruler? Okay, let's move it.
Make it like.
Let's move it not. Okay. Okay, and hopefully now I don't have a. Now maybe this is right. No, this is not.
No.
Okay, no, we're good.
Okay.
Okay, we're good. Perfect.
Oh.
So the deal with this is not.
These are not. It's not right.
It's not a right triangle.
No,
so.
It's not.
Not a right triangle.
Okay.
So we need more work.
Okay.
Quick pencils. Okay, thank you. So this is not a right triangle. How do we do it? How's it going over here? Do you have any thoughts you want to share with me?
No.
Questions, yeah.
The triangle up there, isn't the formula that you can use for that exactly the same as everything else because you can just write this?
You can make it into something else that we know the formula for. Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm confused because the hypotenuse thing that you did with the. With the one up there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Since this is outside of the rectangle, does that affect it?
Sorry, what's your rectangle?
It's
Oh, no, the thing is that this rectangle over here, so it worked over there because what we wanted was a rectangle such that the triangle is inside. So that works. That makes it work. But in this case,
yeah.
So well, we can't. So the what is the relationship between the area of this rectangle and the area of the triangle?
The triangle is half, right? Because this is the height of the triangle.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But for this.
But
one,
then, oh
this
yeah,
is
but
outside, yeah.
Exactly. But the problem with this, this is a very good idea in a sense. Like if I'm talking about measurements, okay, based on height wise, it's perfect. However, it's going to make it a little bit more difficult to compare the inside. I mean, the interior points and the boundary points between the two. So if we could get the triangle inside, completely inside a rectangle, that will make it easier to compare them. Because the interior points of the rectangle, sorry, of the triangle will be part of the interior points of the rectangle.
Yeah, so if I made it this rectangle,
okay.
I don't know the relationship between the area of the triangle and the area of this.
Correct. But in terms of shapes, so you have this big, and then you have this one. So the area of the big one is equal to the area of this, and then what's left over?
That, right.
Only this?
Yeah, because that times, I'm confused now. This and that.
Ah, this and that, exactly. What is this?
All right, let's go to the station next.
This is part of the rectangle, right?
That's did you guys prove everything? Hold on. So, this one is a right triangle. Do we know a formula for a right triangle?
Yeah.
Check. Yeah. What is this?
That's a rectangle.
Check. Now, the only thing is that what we're showing is that the area of this is the area of the rectangle minus the area of this minus the area of this, for which we had the formulas. But do the formulas add up to the area of the triangle? Meaning, here I've got the interior points of this, the interior points of this, the interior points of everything. How does that compare to the interior points of this triangle? So that's what we want. We want a formula that depends only on the interior points and boundary points of this.
Okay. Thank you.
Sounds good.
Oh, that one, it works on that one as well.
That one works?
Yeah.
What about this? Don't draw on this, please. Don't draw on that thingy. So in here, I would say
what are we trying to solve for?
Oh, they told me that the sky is blue in this one. I don't know why.
The sky is blue?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Wouldn't you agree?
I think that solves it.
We
right
think
now.
That it probably does work.
It probably does work. Well, we need it to make sure, no?
Yeah.
How can it probably?
This is a right triangle.
But imagine that it's just a shape. Imagine what this is standing for is one triangle and another triangle. So it doesn't matter that they're right. I mean, the other step,
is
let us compute.
Is this boundary or is this part of the inner?
Oh, I get it.
Because
yes.
This a right triangle or make that a right triangle.
Exactly. So take like a shape. Exactly. Take a quadrilateral, mm-hmm. like this one. Okay. What is the area of this quadrilateral?
It's going to be the formula.
Hmm?
We're going to be the same formula, but we're trying
hopefully,
to
prove that. Hopefully, yeah. Exactly. That's what we're trying to do. Is it the formula? So here we have a quadrilateral, and we're going to see that quadrilateral as... How do you say? Yeah, but...
And then that's a quadrilateral.
That's true. But the thing is that here you have like a triangle and another triangle. So if you put two triangles together, you get a quadrilateral. I mean, if you kind of put them together across one side, okay? So what we're trying to do here is, can you prove the formula for a quadrilateral? Seeing the quadrilateral as the sum of two triangles, and now these are just generic triangles, and you have to look at the previous step for checking the formula for the generic. So this is more like when you have two polygons together. Does it work?
If we just solve these separately and then add them.
How you put them together? Exactly. So the area of the quadrilateral will be the area of this guy plus the area of this guy.
Oh.
And now you know the formulas for the previous,
yeah.
from the previous step.
Yeah.
But what I want is the formulas from the previous steps are telling you the area of this big object in terms of the interior points here and the interior points here. and the boundary points of this object and the boundary points of this object. But what I want is to have that in terms of the interior points of the quadrilateral and the boundary points of the quadrilateral.
Wouldn't it be just the rectangle formula? Would it be just the rectangle formula?
I mean, yeah, in the end of the day, that's what we're trying to show. We're trying to show that the area of this thing is the number of interior points plus half of the boundary points minus one. The boundary and interior points of the quadrilateral. Make sense?
Yep.
So write down a couple of formulas. Write down the how it works. Because we need to find relations. Questions, anybody?
You can just go to the next one. So the quadrilateral would be equal to both of the triangles at its length?
Correct. It would be the areas of the two triangles. Yep.
And also like the other one over there? Like this one?
No, that one is a little different. So the one over there is just a generic triangle. And so for that generic triangle, you want to try to see if you can get any ideas from there, from the previous step. Because what you want to do is always think about what it is that you know. We know the formula for a rectangle. We know the formula is true for rectangles. We know the formula is true for right triangles. And so how can we use those shapes to help us out in this example? So if you have questions, make sure that... did you go over through that group?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Grayson, do you have any questions?
No, I just turned down a couple stations and I'm working on them.
Oh, very nice. So this one is the quadrilateral.
Yeah.
Okay, so... is the formula true for a quadrilateral? Knowing that it's true, for example, for the triangles.
Well, it's not working for the non-right triangles, so...
Oh, is it not?
No, it
is. Oh, no. How come? Show me that it didn't work.
So I is 4. B is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Oh, so 4 plus 12 over 2 is 6, minus 1 is 9, but the area of the triangle is base times height
divided by 2.
2, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
2, 4, 6. That's the base. Units.
Oh.
Then it's 6 and 3.
Dots, yeah.
Yep.
All right.
We're over around maybe 10 minutes or so.
Noon?
It's going to be around noon. We're going to have a wrap up.
But will you tell me when the class is over?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Will you tell everyone?
Mm-hmm.
All together, like, you say the class is over?
I will.
At the time, is it only 10 more minutes?
We started a little later, so maybe 10 to 15 minutes, I would say. Okay! Hello, everybody!
I just wrote down the last one because I wanted to sit down and was when I'm describing these towns.
Yeah, not a problem. That's good.
I'm crouching down and saying.
Yeah, don't worry. Here, just draw something with 6 sides. It doesn't matter. At this point, it doesn't matter. So you don't want to focus on the particular shape that you see over there, but just a shape that's got the same feature. Okay. That's what we're going for. How is it going over here?
You're like a robot that like doesn't know what to do if it doesn't happen. And then having like you see what might happen.
Wait, I thought you'd figure out the slopes or the perpendicular. Somebody wrote down the right triangle there.
Oh, that's
Yeah. Forget about it. It doesn't matter. That even if it's a right triangle, then we know already it's true.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So that was a little bit misleading.
A equals.
Oh, so we cut out. Oh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. A.
Ed, how are you doing?
Good.
Good.
Okay. Oh, I see. Yeah, no, fine. I'm sorry. Yeah, you can. So for the thing you want to have...
Right, that's what I was about to ask him. Okay. I think we're going to go for that. Yep. Okay, guys, we're going to be wrapping up. Okay, guys, are you ready? So what I wanted to do... Yeah, thank you. I kept going, not thinking that... So, but thank you. Okay, guys, so what I wanted to do is to wrap up a little bit of what we did today. And I want to give you something to think about, okay, when you're going home. So we figured that there is a very interesting relation, apparently, between the area of hopefully a polygon, okay, that's what we're aiming for, and the interior points and the boundary points. So all we have to do to compute an area is just to look for the interior points, count them, and then the boundary points, count them, okay, and that's a polygon that sits on a lattice, for example, a square lattice. And I'm going to start throwing a question for you. What about a different kind of lattice? Something to think about. So, how do we go about it? Well, we figured that it works for rectangles, it works for right triangles, and then we have a bunch of different options. How do we handle the case of a generic triangle? Let's just say the big ideas. Yeah.
So, since it's kind of not like a right triangle.
That's the thing.
Isn't simple to find the base and height, so you just square your neck like that.
And
you want to say that this is perpendicular.
Oh, no, it's not perpendicular.
Exactly. You just have to do a vertical line and then a horizontal line a vertical line like that has all the points.
We need to do something, yes, sir.
If all the points joined on the points to the vertical line, time, and then you have a horizontal line that has.
Let me do it.
Kind of things.
Hold on.
Well, that's the height.
Ah, okay. So, one thing that we're getting to is that we need an extra structure, so that's not enough, okay? And then if we're looking for something that we can use to, say, for example, right triangles and rectangles, one thing that we could be doing that I've seen some people doing was to kind of just draw a triangle, sorry, a rectangle around this figure, okay? And that is going to give me a base and a height very easily, okay? But for the rectangle. So how do I see the area of the triangle, the green thing? How much is the area of the green thing? I'm going to ask someone else for a second. Just to make sure everybody's participating. How much is the area of the green triangle? How do I get that from the red? Yeah. Exactly, exactly. So in terms of building, okay, that's something that you want to keep in mind. We know the area of the rectangle, okay? We know the formula for that because we just found it. And then we know the formula for this triangle here, so that's going to be 1, 2, and 3, because they're all right triangles. So the area of the green is going to be equal to the area of the rectangle minus the area of 1, minus the area of 2, minus the area of 3. But then we can use the formulas for the areas of all of those things, and then we can kind of put things together to get this formula. But one thing that I want you guys to think about is that these formulas that we have over here involve the interior points and the boundary points of these specific figures. So these are the interior points and the boundary points for, say, triangle 2 that include this thing, okay? Whereas what we want is a formula that involves only the interior points and the boundary points for the green, okay? So pay attention to this. It's not just because we can chop it up that the formula necessarily works. So we still have to do some work. Now, how do we handle a generic polygon over here? What could it be a good idea? Now that we know that everything works in terms of triangles. Yep. Mm-hmm. We can chop it up. So that is a good point. So we can think about chopping up a shape into triangles. And as long as we can do that, we can. It's a very nice exercise, and I really encourage you guys to think about it. How can we handle something like this, or even bigger? Like you can really draw anything you want. So here I'm gonna increase even more. Okay, so you can draw any kind of polygon and see it as the sum of triangles. And is it true that the formula holds for this object in relation to the formulas that we know hold true for those particular triangles? And then another thing that I want to leave you with is possible, you know, wild situations, such as what if I have like a star? What if I have an object, you know, that's got some points, for example? What if I have something that contains holes? How would you compute the area of this big object? Yeah. Anna? Chop it into triangles. Now, what the area of the object, I mean the object itself, is this. So, what do you do with the hole? Just looking for someone else? Yeah.
You can decompose it and make different shapes out of it.
I can definitely decompose it. Suppose that, for example, I know already how to compute the area for a polygon. Any polygon. How would I handle the hole? Yeah. I can subtract them. Exactly. So I could think about taking the two areas and subtracting. So think about how to do that. That's another one that is very good. Do we have any equivalent in three dimensions? Can we say anything about the relationship between the boundary points, the interior points, and the volume? Okay. Does anybody have any questions? I've left you with plenty. I think you're going to be busy for a little. Questions? You have a question? Okay, so I'd like to thank you all for coming and for working with me. And can we have an applause for the work that you've done? Because I think it was very, very good. And now it's over.
It's over now?
It's over now, yes. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay.